And part of the series, we said we're going to have some testimonies. And Irena is going to come up and share her story with us. Come on up, Irena. Don't be shy. Now, you have a choice of microphone. We can give you this one. That's a nice one. Now, Irena's just going to share a little bit about what your story, how you came to faith, a bit before that.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Okay. Yeah, it all started when I was about 10 or 12 years old. So I went with my mom to a friend of hers who just lost a child of 6 years old. And I heard my mom saying to the lady, "God loved him more than you do." And I thought in that moment, I thought, "Ooh, is somebody else who loves me more than my parents probably?" So it stayed with me for a long time, thinking that, "Oh, when my mom said that, who is this up in the sky who loved the child who died and loves me more than my parents?" And
sorry,
oh, thanks. Yeah, and I asked my mom shortly after that, and she said, "Then I say it because yes, is someone who loves you. I mean, I love you," she said, "but is somebody else who loves you more than I do?" And I thought, "Oh, my mom doesn't love me." But she said, "No, it's not like that." And I asked her, "Mom, but who is there?" And she said, I will say to you, but you promised me then you're not going to talk with your friends about it," because my mom was a Serbian and she was a Christian, married to a Kosovan who was my father was a Christian too, but it's quite hard to show the Christianity there in Kosovo because you will get persecuted and going probably to jail. And I said, "Yeah, Mom, I promise you I'm not going to say it to anyone, but who is there?" And she said to me, "Then you think the most beautiful place," she said, "and you think that there is someone who you can't find," and even she said like that, "I can't find the words to describe him because he's out of my imagination," she said. But I'll tell you," she said, "then he will look after you even after I die," she said. And I said, "Okay." So even if my mom died in war, because we were in war, so we will be somebody else there who will look after me. And and after that I was asking always my mom then, "Mom, tell me a little bit more and every time she was bringing out stuff, but always being very careful, so being sure that I wasn't going to speak it with, I wasn't going to talk to the other people, my friends at school and stuff. And I do remember she said to me, "Let's say a little pray before you go to school, because going to school in Kosovo is a little bit, you go, but you're not sure if you come back, being under the Serbian's occupation." So many children got poisoned and some died and some, and she said, go my child," she was calling me, "and you'll be back at 1 o'clock, I'm sure you will, because someone is looking after you. I mean, you are in a safe hands." That's how I translate it now. And we used to say a little pray for the day, going to school and keeping me safe. And I was hearing her, Jesus, she was mentioning Jesus. And I said, "Mom, but you mentioned God, now you're mentioning Jesus." And one day she said, I will say to you when you come back from school what it is," because I was quite confused when I first heard the name of Jesus. And she said to me, "Then Jesus is the Son of God." And I said, "Mom, but who is his mom?" Because, and she said, "Yeah, he's," she told me the story, how it happened, and I thought, how it was, and I thought, it really got me. And I wanted to know always, I wanted to know more and more. And she was happy to share, but always being a little bit careful. So, yeah, that's how it was my first connection, first hearing about God. So it was And that's how it began. And after that, my mom had friends coming around and reading the Bible. And we were praying together, little praise, but always very carefully. So when my father was not around, because we thought probably he doesn't like that kind of stuff. And but she was very, very encouraging to read the Bible with me and to find the translated one, because we had Bibles in other language, Serbian and stuff, but I couldn't read much Serbian at the time. So anyway, she found a good Bible, Albanian translated one. And that's how we started reading together. Until I've been reading with my mom until 1999, when I decided, when the war started in Kosovo in 1998, and there's a time then I split up with her in 1999. So after that she died, and I was here, and now I came to England in 1999. So my mom stayed in northern Albania, where we were sent. And in first contact with Christian in here was in Helsham, where I was living at the time. So very good. We were looking to rent a house, and we found one through an agency. The property belonged to the pastor of the Free Community Church in Helsham, so Bernie and Maureen. I do remember, and as soon as we saw the house and we thought, we'll get it. I was with Andy and, we're going to get it. And the first thing Maureen asked me, said, which church are you going? And I said, Maureen, I don't know, with a few words in English, because I didn't know much English. Maureen, you tell me which church, because I don't know church. I mean, I don't know people around here. We lived 2 months in Eastbourne, and after that we moved to Helsham. And I said, please do put me in contact with the churches, because I really miss Sunday services. And I told her a little bit about living in London, because I used to live in London for 6 months. And in the park, we were surrounded by Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever they were. But they had a service for Kosovan Albanians on Thursday and a service on Sunday for the English or whatever. But it was not, and I do remember I was praying that is, please, Lord, make Maureen not be one of them. But I wanted to be in contact with a real one. Christian, a real Christian, because to me, Jehovah's Witnesses, they were not. It was something not good listening what they were saying, and it did not give me that a warm feeling when I read or when I speak about God. So Maureen was a good one, I'll say. I was in contact with. She introduced me to Steve and Emma, a friend of ours, which we saw them today as well. So they invited us for Easter, and we were going to the church. I've been baptized, and Andy and I, we've been both baptized in the church there. And children have been. They had a little ceremony, whatever they do for babies here, because they don't baptize babies. So there, we've been going to Alpha courses and stuff after that, and that's what it was for Helsham. We were going there, and we decided to move to Haywards Heath, because we heard about Haywards Heath, and in Haywards Heath now, my first contact was Sarah Cunning. So I was looking, I've been to quite a few churches around in Haywards Heath, Clare Hall, whatever the church was in there, one in Burgess Hill. But I was not to be there. So I was in contact with Sarah, and Sarah said we got a service on Sunday, and that's it. And last year I decided to become I became a member to this church. All started, I went back to Kosovo to visit my family.
Can I just interrupt? Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
I know it would be upsetting, but can I just ask why you were separated from your family in one sentence? Are you able to say that? Because there was a big chunk missing.
So I was...
Where you came...
I got I had four brothers, because I haven't got any more four brothers. I only got one brother who lives in Crawley, three brothers were, they were in the army in the Kosovo in the time, and my father was in the army. So I was, okay, they were in the army, the Serbs came, they said that you have to leave the house straight away. It was only my mom and I. Mm-hmm. We were made to walk to northern Albania, which it took about 3 or 4 days, walking at night, and they separated for their own reasons, the old women and the young ones. So the old women, they put them in the buses or whatever to take them to northern Albania because they said Kosovo is not your land, it's our land. That's what Serbians said. And you belong to Albanians, you speak Albanians, you have to go to Albania. That's how I ended up in northern Albania. And I was separated from my mom, but can you imagine, Kosovo is not a small place. I mean, it's got quite a lot of people. And who knows where my mom was stopped at the time. So I couldn't find her. I was searching for her in the camp. So camp, I'll say on the open sky, there where I was. And I couldn't find her anywhere. So with the help of one of my brothers, which he's not alive, so I was sent to go out of northern Albania because so many young girls, they were taken to Italy or Greece for stupid stuff, you know. So my brother wanted to save me. So somehow he organized for me and a few other young ones to just get out of Albania. As soon as you get out of the northern Albania, we were safe. As soon as we, yeah, but it was not to be Italy or Greece because it was they were a risky ones. So yeah, we were going out, goodness knows where. and with my brother's help, so we ended up somehow in England. So I came here as asylum seeker, and 1 week after arriving here, so as soon as I came, they sent me to the hospital because it was quite a big trauma. I couldn't find my mom. I couldn't find anyone. So, and it's not easy traveling, you know, on the lorries. And you probably see it on the telly, but for me that was real. And 1 week after arriving here, I was called from the Home Office, and I was indefinite leave to remain as a war, whatever they called it at the time, yeah, coming from a war place. So that's how, and years, I was trying to be in contact with, to know where my mom was, because it was the only one who I had left, and I couldn't find her. But years, a couple of years after, with Andy's help, I found my brother, he lives in Crawley now. He came from Germany, he used to live in Germany, and he came here when he heard that I was here. But about my other brothers, now, they were killed in the war, three brothers and my father, during the war. So my mom stayed in Albania for about 2 or 3 months in the camp. They kept them there because she was not fit enough to go back. And after she went back, when she was looking for her husband and for her sons and for me as well, because she did not have a clue where I was, and somehow her heart was broken, she died. That's what I've been told, but I don't know the truth. So,
thank you very much.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think there was a gap in between.
Yeah.
And it just really does make sense why then you go back to Kosovo. So you were saying
I go back to Kosovo. Yeah.
And
I normally go,
yeah.
We normally go in April to go to my mum's grave and my brother's grave. So, yeah. But not this year.
So when you went back to Kosovo, I stopped you earlier. Uh-huh. When you went back to Kosovo.
Back to Kosovo, I one of my cousins, he became an imam somehow, and I was talking with him, and he really upset me a lot, and for the first time, I found that I was saying to him so many stuff about God, because he was blind, he can't see, he can't listen, he can't, whatever he says, I say to him, is rubbish, because you can't see God. I mean, you believe, I told him like that, you believe in some stupid stuff, but you cannot see the real one, I mean, who God is. And I was quite upset, and talking with a Muslim in a Muslim country is quite dangerous, because they can do whatever they want. And I thought in a minute, you know, I was thinking, so, okay, talking to him like that, but where am I? So, okay, I go to church, but I'm not really committed, because I'm not a member of the church. Or okay, yeah, do I do believe in God, and yeah, I want, yeah, I, I, yeah, I gave myself to him. You know, I have got in my heart, but oh, where am I? And on the fly back, I was thinking, we were flying, and I thought, it was all that, and really, I'm not sorted. I don't know, somehow, you know, I'm not sorted myself, because I don't belong anywhere. I do believe in God, but I don't belong anywhere. So as soon as I got back, I spoke with Sarah and Graham, I think, and I'm much more, after I did that, I'm much more calm, and I'm much more... Yeah, I know then, I know where I am, I know where I'm going, and another last thing, which is really happened recently, I thought, I went for an examination, I went for to see my GP, and they said, oh, it might be cancer, it was something, you know, and I said, okay, even if it is, I got upset, and I've only spoken to Sarah about that, and it was very upsetting, but I said, if it's God's plan for me, it doesn't really matter, you know. If he planned that for me, then I'm going to die young. It doesn't really matter. But I never said then, that's what my husband says to me, you never said then, why me? I never say, why me? Why was my mom or my brother? So whatever, they were, in the war, there were so many dead. So that was God's plan for them. Sorry, that was God's plan for them. So why should I say, why me? Why it happens to my family? It doesn't really matter, you know. And I didn't say, why? Andy said, my husband said, but again, you've been quiet a lot, and it is you again, you know, you're hearing that it might be cancer. And I said, Andy, it doesn't really matter. Even if it is, I said that, Andy, even if it is, God will sort it out for me. Even if it is, he's going to turn it around, that it's not going to be one. And I went to the hospital 2 weeks after, and it was not, you know, it was something misdiagnosed. It was just a stupid doctor who just said a silly word. Who said a silly word to make me upset. But in those 2 weeks, I've seen my God like being there with me on my right hand side, and always, even in the appointments and stuff, I was sitting and waiting to see the doctor, and it was like I had someone with me, and I always feel that I'm not on my own. You know, I got someone with me because I gave God a very big space in my heart. So I know he will be there for me. He has been always there for me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming up.
Yeah. When we pray, that is the power of the resurrection, isn't it? Hearing that is what Jesus died and rose to bring about, that kind of work in someone's life. That in the middle of a country where the gospel is prohibited and persecuted, the gospel still reaches and converts and brings saving life, and that someone can testify to that. That's the resurrection power. That's what we believe. That's why we're celebrating this day.